Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Bray Wyatt won a match tonight.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
I just wanted to put that out there, mind you. That's our opening theme for the night, by the way. I just think everyone should be excited about that. I understand it may not have happened in a way that we thought, but Bray Wyatt won a match tonight. Hello, I'm Matt Marrero, by the way, if you are unaware. With me is my co-host.
Hey, what up? It's Satish. I'm kind of pissed. I mean, you're using the music I used to mess with you at the end of podcasts because I don't delete them.
I promised him some different music, but when I saw Damian Sandow, I could not resist.
This is what I get for being good at what I do. It's just, it comes back to haunt me. I know how CM Punk feels now. Like, I can just imagine. He's just like, damn it, this is what I get for being the best
right?
in the world. Like, just it never stops following me.
Are you going to find your own little AJ? You should have went to Jersey tonight. Maybe you could have found one in the audience.
I would have loved to meet Paige tonight, but she didn't even get that much time for a match, so it kind of sucked.
Really? I thought she got more time than most divas do.
She got like 7 minutes, I think, at max.
Okay, let's be honest here, though. 7 minutes at max for one diva, or one, you know, two divas technically, you know, one-on-one on a pay-per-view, I think that's literally double than what they normally get. And honestly, something, maybe it's just because it's Paige and also Tamina being there as well, it felt like it was a nice, strong match. It didn't feel like that, sadly what many fans have called it a piss-break match. It did not feel that way at all.
I mean, yeah, it definitely, I'm going to say it was a step in the right direction, but it's not the finished product yet. Like,
no,
more time, of course.
Oh, of course, of course.
But I mean, it was a step above piss-break, which is great because there were some good spots in the match.
Definitely. So let's start off with the first match of the night, technically. You didn't watch this match in protest. I didn't get to see the first few minutes of this match. The WWE proclaimed WLC match. Now,
yeah, fuck
here's,
that.
Here's, no, actually, I agree.
No, fuck that.
But, no, you have to understand something. I agree. But extremely, it's so bad on so many levels. However, the match quality wasn't bad. At all. They were actually some really good spots, and I felt really upset by it. So you didn't see the match at all?
Oh, no, I saw bits and pieces, because I saw some of the recap, and I saw the finish live.
Yes.
And I do have, I have Matt, you know, our fact checker, I have her notes on the match in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've got things here. I've got Micro Cole, Jerry the Mini King Lawler.
Yeah, and
VBL or JBL.
JBLF and that, okay, so that, okay, here's the thing, ready? That announce team, just a step in the wrong direction, not even a step in the wrong direction, what am I saying? They were sprinting in the wrong direction.
Yeah, okay.
Just sprinting. But here's the thing, okay, I have to say this. I'm not saying this match should have happened, but let's say someone says this match has to happen. We have to promote Hornswoggle in a way in a match. This match has to happen, right? And it has to be a weapons match because there's going to be weapons. You know, I have to say, I will admit, the smaller weapons and the smaller tables, I was actually happy with them there because, again, you couldn't have had, let's say, them climb up a long ladder. That would have taken a while. I mean, let's be honest here. So if it had to happen, the only issue that I have, which is a big issue, by the way, is the fact that whoever got behind marketing with that, they're the terrible people. Because whoever was the one that said, yep, WLC, oh, let's get a mini announce team, those people are connected to Satan, in my opinion. Right, but the match quality itself, the spots that they were told to put, they did not treat them as if they were lesser. They were saying to them, go through a table, you know, jump off of this, get put through that, get manhandled here. And then they even took the managers and even put them through some spots. I mean, Heath Slater went through how many tables? You know, a decent amount. So I'm not saying this match was, you know, amazing in any way, But at the same time, I just think that they go too far, where someone made that idea, right? Someone else accepted it, and then they just started shoving crap into it that got me really offended.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I'm
think
just
going to
rip off Maddie's notes here, because I'm pretty sure I feel the same way.
Right.
This ring announcer is awful. Are you kidding me?
Oh, who was he, by the way?
Did that actually happen? Oh, my God, thank God they cut away. Why am I watching this? I quit by... Shut up, Matt. I don't know how that got in there, but it's here. It's quotable.
Oh, shit. No, it's
sarcastic. This is awesome, chant.
Oh, yeah. I was assuming it was sarcastic. I was in for that.
Drew literally just went, why am I doing this? And basically put himself through a table.
I
hate this company. Oh, there we go. That's the feeling. Thank you, Maddie, for summing up my feelings on something that I didn't have to watch. You are wonderful.
No, yeah, thank you, too. I this really does make me have less faith in them because it makes me think, all right, and this sounds terrible, but please, hear me out. If they're treating, even though he is a little person, if they're treating, you know, for them, that's a bad thing, right? They're treating a little white person badly. Imagine a quote-unquote normal-sized black person, an African-American, ever getting far in this company. I have given up faith in many things that I actually was starting to get, like Biggie getting a push. You know, things like that, really, I'm kind of stepping back from. So I'll have faith in a guy like Daniel Bryan, but guys, you know, work on other demographics here, all right? Not everyone looks like Daniel Bryan. You know, that's what I have to say. So
No, it's just like, I want to sit here and make a joke with you. I want to sit here and be like, that's a good joke, Matt. But, no, you're actually, you know, you're spot on here.
Yeah.
You know I like to argue with you, but it's just kind of scary, right?
Yeah.
Part of me not watching the pre-show was because I thought, I don't know if it was just like something someone put in my water, all the drugs I've have to be on because I've been so sick. But I was looking at the card, and I'm like, you know what? I might actually enjoy this card. About like 6 o'clock, I'm sitting there like, I might enjoy this card.
Right, and I'm like,
so what's the pre-show? As I'm looking up, you know, what's the deal with the pre-show and
stuff.
I'm like, right. I'm not going to watch that. Because I figure, I mean, I can honestly say to people listening, I wasn't going to watch that because who could blame me for not watching? And
no,
I didn't want to start this card with a bad taste in my mouth because I thought it was going to be, at least wrestling-wise, a good card. Because the one thing they've been consistent with recently, for a little while now, say a good few months, wrestling quality has been more or less pretty solid, you know, even if the results have been kind of shady. Tonight it was almost the opposite for me, where I think all of the results were exactly what I hoped/expected.
Yes.
But the wrestling quality was weird in some places, and some of the booking
drove
me nuts. And we'll get to that.
Yes.
Once we pass the pre-show, because I want to actually talk about the card.
Well, no, we're past the pre-show because, I mean, what else can I really say?
Limit!
You go first. The first match of the night. What do you have to say about that?
Oh, man. All right, so what led off? It was the triple threat, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
So weirdly enough,
great.
Right?
Right.
It was. Was that intentionally an elimination match?
No. Here's the thing, all right? Both.
Because
I don't
know,
by the way, and anyone,
by
if anyone, I would like to say this. If anyone, you know, is confused, where's Ashley Colpan? I remember you posted about her being on a couple days ago. Sadly, she is not able to be with us tonight. She was not able to catch the pay-per-view event. You know, but we love her, and hopefully she'll be on next week for the Total Divas podcast. Yes, that's still happening. Didn't happen tonight because, hey, guess what? Ho-ho. You know, that whole pay-per-view thing. Really didn't think that one out, did you? E and the WWE.
Maddie's trying to point out to us that she thinks the commentator forgot that it was an elimination match. My thing is that I don't think it was. See, I want to say, I don't think it's been referred to as an elimination match.
It hasn't.
But they also didn't refer to it as an Extreme Rules match. So I was just like, I don't know. I felt like a lot of it was done on the fly.
Okay, here's the thing, though. I want to contest Maddie for one reason. They always...
Did she
tell
you to shut up in her notes?
No. I don't think she said that. I think you've made
She did, dude. I have the picture. I will leak
send
the
it.
Script.
Please send it. Please leak it. Leak this. Stephanie McMahon would not like that. But, okay, so here's the thing, Maddie. they always get things told to them through their speed, you know, through their earphones, whichever ones. So I would assume that they would have been told it, you know, by someone like, remember though, because remember this, even though you can say whatever you want to about, you know, Vince McMahon, he always shouts a lot of things at them, like, you know, oh, promote this, promote that, remember this, remember that. So I feel as if they had forgotten it personally, someone would have told them, remind the people, you know, about the match or something. You know, he won't say remind them about maybe a move in the match, because heaven forbid they call moves during a match, but the actual, you know, the rules, they would have said that. Also, the announcers even said at first, like, oh, so he won the match. You know, at least one
out of
three.
There was a bit
of
a weird lull when RVD eliminated Swagger, because it was like,
yeah,
wait, did he pin him?
No, I'm
that
pretty
being
sure.
Said, yeah. You know, good match, though, right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm just pretty sure that Swagger screwed up maybe a count or something, because he may have been I'm assuming it was on Swagger, because RVD can't kick out, you know, can't pull him out. The ref can't stop. Legally, it's actually in his contract or something where even if there was a chance where it's just like, all right, so-and-so can't win, the ref can't just stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would destroy everything. So the ref had to go. And so the announce team was just sitting there. It's like, he's been, and then you can tell that maybe through the headset someone said, tell them he was eliminated, just go with it. Because after about maybe 3-4 seconds, someone shouts, I think it was Cole, he's been eliminated.
Yeah, but see,
and
here's
the match
goes on. I will say in Maddie's credit, right?
Right, right.
RVD veteran performer, right?
Mm-hmm.
He pulled off that 5-star cleanly. That's a finishing move, you know?
Yes.
Like, under no circumstances should Swagger have kicked out of that, since it's not a title match, it's not anything major, you know? So that spot seemed planned, as if they did plan it to be an elimination, and then, but maybe it was a last-minute thing where they decided today that would happen, and commentary just failed to put it over. So
probably.
I don't know.
I mean, there's that. There is that. Also, I mean, even though I don't want to blame Cesaro, there's a chance maybe Cesaro was also maybe not paying attention because he could have broke it up, let's say, because usually that happens during a match like this. I mean, look at the Shield versus Evolution. Everyone was breaking up everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to blame him because, by God, he's amazing in every single way. But, I mean, hey, if he's in the corner and he doesn't hear anything, I don't know, because I've never stepped into a ring myself, obviously, so I wouldn't know how it feels when the adrenaline's pumping, when you've just been hit by a lot of moves by Rob Van Dam, and you're just laying there, and you have to, you know, really think, like, 1, 2, 3, oh, that was my cue, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes you deal with these guys that are good at selling, you can't tell if they're really hurt or really dazed or not. I mean,
yes,
to skip for a second to the Shield Evolution match, dude, for a while I was confused because they looked kind of, you know, beat down.
I'm not going to lie. I was going to split screen my WWE Network, and on one screen have the network on my television, and on my laptop I was going to write up Seth Rollins' eulogy. Seth Rollins was a lovely man. When he jumped off of the ice, I thought he died. I was going to speak at his funeral. You have to understand, I'm pretty sure that while they shielded him, they shielded him from the fall, he still hit it face, because, again, camera angles, I'm sure. For once, that was a good angle. But it looked as if he hit straight to the floor. And
oh,
it did not look as padded as it should have been.
Oh, yeah, and we'll freak out about that as soon as we get to that match, because I know it was definitely a match of the night, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
But, I mean, the triple threat, I definitely enjoyed it. It was a great way to kick off the show. Of course, Cesaro won, because that was the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And, you know, good spots, good match, brought in the garbage can, RVD still looks good, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was fun. I liked it. It started off strong for me, because especially not watching the pre-show, I was like, all right, head of steam, you know? Good start, Extreme Rules.
Also, one little thing, another thing that just popped into my head, actually. A reason why I would like to mention that it may not have been planned is because I feel as if, unless they're going to use this match to try and keep the rivalry going between Cesaro and Jack Swagger for some reason, right? It seems weird that RVD would get the pin on Swagger rather than Cesaro getting it to kind of tie up all the loose ends.
You just reminded me, by the way. Heyman did it again.
Oh, yeah. I love him.
Like, I want to hate him, but I don't. But at the same time, Matty echoed my thoughts when we were talking during the opening.
Right.
He does need to put over Cesaro more, and the only way this is going to be acceptable is if it's somehow tied into the eventual Cesaro-Lesnar feud.
Yes.
Where Cesaro's just like, look, I needed you to be the guy for me, and you were just in a love fest with Brock Lesnar.
Yes,
so screw you, man. So
yeah.
We'll see, because he doesn't give Cesaro as much, and I don't, if it isn't going to be tied in, I'm kind of worried, because Cesaro still looks good in the ring, but Heyman's getting put over from the streak,
to,
and a lot of
no, I think it's
him.
Yes, no, I think it's going to cross over. I mean, he's getting better and better with it. At first, all he came up with was King of Swing. Now he's actually making more. He's saying, if he's a Paul Heyman guy, that means that you
mm-hmm.
have to like this guy. You know, doing little things here and there that I think are going to add up. However, yes, the majority is Undertaker love, which will cause, you know, which should cause Cesaro to turn even against him. You know, which could
mm-hmm.
make something very interesting, because what if, you know, you have, I don't know who else could become a Paul Heyman guy at this point, but, you know, another Paul Heyman guy, let's say, brought into this, who is just, oh, you know, Cesaro has turned on me, go against Cesaro. And then you have Swagger. Now you could even have a Zeb Coulter, Paul Heyman kind of alliance against Cesaro. And then Cesaro has to team up with someone else and kind of, not make a tag team, but at least make a fighting effort against these two guys who are pretty, you know, damn good on the mic and who now have people representing them to try to, you know, beat up the face.
Right.
So that may end up, that may be something very interesting in the future if we get there.
Hey, before we move on to the second match of the night,
yes.
We've got one of our regular callers on.
Of course, I can already tell who it is. I think we should put the man on. Hello.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Wait, Wade Barrett calls us regularly? I didn't. Oh, wait, that laugh? Oh, no, it's Daniel.
Oh,
wait, no,
God.
It's not. Wait a minute, no. Is that Heihachi from Tekken? Is that that evil laugh? It sounded a bit, I think that was Heihachi.
Heihachi.
Okay, I didn't even mean for Heihachi to come out.
I'm glad it did. I love Tekken. Anyone out there who likes Tekken as well? We could do a Tekken podcast one day down the line.
Oh, we're going to do a Tekken podcast. Oh,
so, yeah. Good evening,
but,
Danny. How you doing there?
I'm doing good, man. Oh, God. Extreme Rules was good. Just so
oh,
good.
Yeah. You see, Daniel agrees with me. I mean, granted, not that good. I think it was like a B-plus player kind of good. But it was still good. You know, it wasn't the worst thing in the world. It, you know, it was crazy. It was zany.
Yeah.
I liked it. A lot of backstage.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you on the B-plus thing. It's just I left feeling kind of meh because I think the beginning half got me all hyped and into it, and then it kind of slowly faded down for me.
Where did it fade out for you, though?
Somewhere in the middle of that Cena match.
And I understand why.
But the end of the Cena match kind of got me. I said the first word that thought to my came to my mind was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it almost took away, at the moment, it took away from all the Super Cena stuff they did in the match, and then I thought about it, and it didn't. Fuck Cena.
Wow.
Here's the thing. We'll talk about that a bit more later, but what I do want to say, the only thing that I do want to pick up from that segment, that match and then the end segment that I didn't like, was, okay, WWE is great at a lot of things, right? You know, and one of the greatest things, I think, is their video packages, right? So they're great at a lot of things. Audio, though, you know, mixing people's voice, I don't think they're good at that. So I don't know why. I think they should have gone the Exorcist route and have just gotten an older actress or actor to kind of get in there and get his or her voice mixed up, you know, because I think just doing that with the kid's voice, it just didn't sound good at all. I mean, the kid wasn't bad. His face was great. He was making all those, you know, he was creepy. He was great. I mean, I love little Johnny, I have to say. But just the fact that they had to, you know, cue that up and do that live, it was just so bad. Oh, God, that was so bad.
I have to disagree with you, man.
Well, we're going to have to fight then. Just live, on the air. I'm gonna go find where you live during this hour podcast. The podcast is now a three-hour podcast tonight. I'm going to go find out where Daniel lives. I'm going to kill him. No, but seriously, no, we don't want to kill our fans.
I'll do commentary.
What? You'll do commentary. I'm still called in, by the way. Also, I'm like, I think I'm getting closer. By God! It's like,
you know, I need to get a microphone so I can join you guys.
You're calling in right now, man.
For the whole 3 hours, because I have a lot to say.
Oh, for the whole 3 hours, okay. Yeah, just Danny's just sitting there, just, I don't know, man. Power just got cut from my house. slowly, I just put little tiny MP3 players playing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands off sync at different points of your
resume. You this is getting really weird. You spot, so you'd be hearing them out of order. He's like, that's what you would hear in the wrong order.
Oh, this is getting really weird, though, I have to say. I'm actually getting nervous for Danny. But what was your favorite match of the night?
It was a tie, actually, between Cena and Bray and the Shield vs. Evolution.
Oh. I don't know. Here's the thing. I will say that I can see why you would put Shield vs. Evolution up there. Not so much Bray Cena.
I don't know, man. Something about it. Just something about it, like the atmosphere.
Well, how much have you been drinking tonight, Daniel?
Oh, shut up.
How much weed you been smoking? Have you been talking to RVD? There was a lot of time between RVD's match and the Cena match, and I know that RVD is in the Tri-State area right now for that event, and I don't judge, but don't podcast and smoke. Don't podcast under the influence. It makes you like John Cena, and that's a huge problem in this society.
I don't like John Cena. I like
no.
Okay, look.
We're not saying that you like John Cena. We're saying that the match, the way they booked it, it tried to make the kids think, yeah, John Cena's so strong. I don't think it made Bray look weak. I will say that it did make him look like he was too reliant on the family. A bit too much.
Yeah, it was.
It did make Bray look weak.
Let me update my list. My third favorite match of the night. My second favorite match of the night.
Okay.
Paige versus Tamina.
Yes, you see, that's some good stuff right there.
Six to 7 minutes of it. Oh yeah.
Hey,
real justified.
That's double normal Divas get, which is actually kind of sad. But that's
how long
double,
one
Slugger
and Torito get.
I am not too sure but remember though, it was a pre-show match. So if you think about it, it's going to get more anyway. Even if it's just 10 minutes, it's going to get more anyway. Hey, better that be on the pre-show than on the main card, right? Really think about that though.
I know, but I just feel like if they can somehow schedule it so they get that much time in the ring, I would argue that Paige and Tamina, for her credit, who had some pretty good spots, deserve at least that much. But, yeah.
Pretty sure they got 10 minutes. But, all right, 7, I'll take your word for it. But, Daniel, I want to thank you for calling in. Keep on listening because we're going to talk. We're going to go crazy about Shield and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I'm going to keep listening, and I'll keep doing impressions.
Oh, yeah, just keep on doing impressions. Just keep on calling us. But make sure when you call us in the future to not do something relevant. Do an impression that is completely irrelevant from whatever product we're referring to.
Okay.
Please. All right, thank you so much. Thank you for calling, Daddy.
No problems.
All right, so I'm currently finding Daniel's address from the yellow pages. No.
Yeah,
as
Matt does that, I mean, as always, you know, for those of you who want to call in, the number remains the same every time we do this podcast, 718-664-9468. That's 718-664-9468.
All right, so now we were talking, before Daniel called,
we were about to
the
second match.
Yes, we were. But I will have to say, though, RVD, I actually know him personally. He actually came to my house while the pay-per-view was going on, and the second Bray Wyatt came out during his theme song, he just lit up. You know, I was like, whoa, Rob, what are you doing? You know, the landlords, they don't like that stuff, and he just laughed. You know, I don't know if he knew where he was. But, he's a great guy. So now we move on to Bad News Barrett versus Big E, correct?
Was that the second match?
I assume that it was. Was it not?
It probably was. My memory is always shitty. So, you know, I'm going to trust you on it.
Okay, sure. So the second match. So now what I have to say is, I'm so sorry. There was an awesome Bo Dallas promo.
Well, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
You know what made me laugh about the Bo Dallas promo? It's a fucking pregnancy test. I lost it at the pregnancy test.
No, what I think is
you can do it. And you see the first stripe, and then you see the second one. I was nearly in tears.
Yes. What I think is great is that they're really trying to be extremely, and I didn't mean that as a pun, out there with his promos now, where it's just really a woman being, you know, someone being happy about being pregnant. Just, okay.
People can be happy about being pregnant.
I guess. I don't think I've been seeing the right. I've been seeing too many, too much Maury, I think. I don't know. Just, I haven't heard
pregnancy is a good thing because people have planned it and they want to have a kid.
Yeah, I guess
so. It gives them purpose in life.
Yeah. I guess I just really enjoyed the fact that the first stripe was first, so I was wondering if there was going to be two people extremely happy about the not pregnant thing.
I was wondering how that was going to go, and I laughed, and
too.
I gave them credit, because they continued doing this crap.
I think the mountaintop was great, too, because you saw them climbing the mountain. Oh, it's just wonderful. But anyway. Right. So the actual second match was Rusev with Lana versus Woods and R-Truth.
As much as we don't want to talk about that.
You know, yeah, okay. There was a Cage Sider who posted a what if, you know, what could happen to make Rusev look good as well as, I think, Woods and R-Truth. And you told me about it. It involved a lot of hitting with chairs that Rusev would kind of just take. Right, which kind of sounded cool, but in this case, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was nice to see him beating up on both of them before the match. But what I think is the issue, as always with WWE, they think that the young guy is so green that the older guy should be put over in a way where he'll be in. Even though R-Truth, there's three people in a damn match. Even though R-Truth did get pinned. It still ended up looking like Woods got beaten down so hard that he couldn't participate in that 3-minute match, which was upsetting because you think, you know, maybe as a wrestler he'll be green, but as an actual human being, he should be getting up quicker than R-Truth. You know, he's a young guy.
It was a weird thing for me where I was just kind of meh. You know, because
I
knew what was coming. I was hoping it would get creative, and it wasn't, and that's it. You know, I mean,
There was a great creative spot, I think, in there, where you would think that Rusev would try to pull out a weapon, and it was just, no, he was trying to expose the steel. It's actually something I haven't really seen done.
And he pulled a wheel kick.
Yes, yes.
Which was kind of cool. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Because he is athletic. I'm not saying he's not.
Yeah.
No.
I think that was creative. But no, I agree. It wasn't. It could have been better. It really could have been a lot better.
I will say Lana did get some, you know, cheap heel heat by doing the Vladimir Putin thing beforehand.
That was beautiful
because
I was so nervous. I was like, is she going to say that Rusev is her idol? And it was just Vladimir Putin.
Because I was thinking, like, is she? Because she was saying, I'm dedicating this match. I'm like, Rusev can't dedicate a match to himself. That's stupid. You know what I mean? I dedicate Rusev's match to Rusev. What? I'm offering this match to Rusev. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
that's
fair enough.
It's like offering Jesus to Jesus. So I was like, who
are you saying Jesus? Are you saying Jesus is not good enough to be offered to himself?
I think that would be weird, you know, without touching on anyone's, like, religious beliefs.
But it's Jesus.
No, for lack of a better argument, Alexander Rusev is for 100% certain not Jesus.
Yes, let's just put that out there. Please, you know, he was not, he's not Jesus. But,
not Jesus. But he did beat the guy tonight in a pretty...
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. I just, a thought popped into my head. I really think everyone needs to know this, or at least be reminded. He was being billed as 6 feet. I think that's hilarious, if only because both you and I had a conversation the other day on the telephone, how short some of these guys really are and their build heights. And there are certain guys that do look, you know, big. You know, but when you look at Rusev, and it's like, that guy's 6 feet tall. No, he's not.
It's really funny because Lana was wearing heels, and when Rusev stood up next to her, he only had like an inch and a half. Wow, Lana's a super American, super, you know, athlete, too. I forgot for
clearly.
A second she was wearing heels. And it just made me laugh a little.
No, it's just
one thing. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. The one thing I did
no,
like, though, mm-hmm. Lana did say Bulgarian brute, but now he resides in Russia. Because they're trying to make that make sense.
Yes, yes, of course, of course. Which
so
is good.
I'll
That's
give
obvious.
Them that much. Because you can't, you know, you can't just say Putin. It's like, but he's from Bulgaria. He now resides
yes.
in Russia. Oh, okay. Thank you for
right,
that
right,
little
right.
WWE. You know, match whole
yes,
thing
think,
was sucky, but, you know, whatever.
Yes, yes. But, no, I have to bring up the height thing, if only because you're taller than Mark Henry. So
yes,
I wonder how much
taller
you are.
I'm taller than Mark Henry and a lot of the current WWE superstars. And I'm not that tall of a guy. I mean, I'm 5'11 on a good day. So
yeah, right. On a good day.
On a good day.
On a bad day, 4'9". But
yeah,
yeah,
no,
I just
it's terrible.
Yeah, it really is. But no, but seriously though, yeah, you're so I imagine how much taller are you than Rusev? Like I want to walk around and look at Rusev and think, so Rusev, you're my height.
I'd like
Mind
to
you,
walk
5'4".
Into a room with Rusev's theme song and walk up to him and just look
yes.
down at him and smile.
Yes.
Because
I
like that
theme
music, just for being taller than him.
I believe you can do it, because honestly, I mean, you look at some of these guys, you know, Rey is billed as, what was it, 5'6", as the shortest guy in WWE at 5'6".
Right,
and apparently,
Rey's like 5'3"?
Apparently, if rumors are to be believed, you know, from fans
mm-hmm.
who have said, oh, I'm, you know, 5'4", and he was a bit shorter than me, which is very interesting, because, you know, obviously build height doesn't mean real height, but it's just very funny in terms of, you know, a guy like you, who, yes, you're taller than me, obviously, but you would think not really, you know, a huge amount. And being 5'11", you're taller than Mark Henry, a guy who, while can still, you know, still could kick your ass, is billed as this guy who's, oh, my God, Mark Henry.
Oh, yeah, for the record, I'm not trying
huge.
To take away that some of these guys could kick my ass, especially Mark Henry, because it's a guy who's a power lifter and that kind of stuff before.
Definitely.
You know. But,
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of those guys could still kick my ass regardless.
Oh, definitely. Mine as well, mind you. Ray can Hurricanrana circles around me even in his old age.
You can't Hurricanrana in circles.
You don't know Rey Mysterio back in the day. But anyway, so the next match was the Intercontinental Championship match between Wade Barrett and I was going to say Bray Wyatt. That's definitely wrong. It's Big E. Big E, not Bray Wyatt, everyone. Big E does not. It's not Big Wyatt.
Which was,
that
again,
would be great.
Another solid match.
Yeah. I just don't like the direction, because obviously we knew this was going to happen. I just don't like it. Okay, some people may be criticizing me, but why? You know, Wade Barrett. I agree. I'm not saying I didn't want Wade Barrett to win. I just didn't want Big E to be the guy to lose. And that's where
yeah,
my dilemma
comes in. I think we talked a good, you know, a few weeks moving up towards the podcast where I was saying,
yeah,
there are ways you can do this where Cesaro and, you know, Barrett, Big E, they all get their kind of thing working, you know? Or
yeah.
like Barrett would end up, I think, losing to Big E in my scenario, but he could
yeah.
still go on to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, it's weird because I like them both.
Yeah.
And that's what sucks. And
yeah.
you like them both, too. So you understand,
yeah.
you know.
The only good thing that may come out of this is, and we can be lucky, you know, if this happens. I think it will, but still, we may not be so lucky. Big E still has a rematch. So technically, that can be a story. Hey, everybody, that's a story right there. Do
yeah,
that,
two good
please.
Things can come from this. That, giving Big E something to do to allow him to exhibit personality and be himself, because he is entertaining, athletic, very good addition to the roster. And if this is the beginning of something extended for Wade Barrett, it's not going to bother me as much. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, if you're going to push Barrett, commit to it. Don't half-ass it. And then I won't be upset about what you did here.
Exactly. Yeah, no, because I think it would be terrible if we had the dreaded Intercontinental Championship curse, which it exists, mind you. It's, you know, it's been extended to a lot of superstars, as well as the U.S. title. I believe there's a curse on that as well. Or at least if there wasn't, it started with Ambrose, where it's just there. You know, you're not really – I mean, actually, no, Ambrose doesn't have the curse. It's a different curse. It's the never defended curse. And when you do, you win it for no reason. But the curse for the Intercontinental Championship is the fact that you get the title, and then you're booked into oblivion. Because Big E was on a meteoric rise, he gets the title, nothing. And that's happened with a few different people, and, you know, I hope that it doesn't happen with Wade Barrett as well, because that would be very upsetting. Because, I mean, I don't like it. It's like a Flavor of the Month thing where they don't realize, you know, they're so out of touch. And they think they're in touch because – in touch is a weird word. They think
mm-hmm.
they know us because they may go on the Internet. Let's say, oh, we frequent these websites. We know you. Just listen to podcasts, honestly. Just talk to – you know, actually talk to fans. No, I'm being serious, where it's just, hey, you know, there's guys like Xavier Woods that were over. there's guys like Big E that were over. Am I, again, happy that Wade Barrett is over now?
Yeah,
good
to their
stuff,
credit, Wade
stuff,
is over.
Stuff. Yeah, good stuff.
Like, even
but
as a heel, like, he either gets serious heel heat or he gets a lot of cheers from smart crowds. So
exactly. But
and he
still,
deserves them.
Yeah. He does. He really does. Like, not taking anything away from Barrett. It's just very upsetting because there is so much you could do with a guy like Big E and Xavier Woods. Heck, if you really want to, put them in a tag team, a nerd tag team, because as we've mentioned before, as Satish Ram knows and loves, Big E is a My Little Pony fan.
Word.
Yeah, and he can literally be, he can be the guy who just stands there and says, hey, you know, is there something wrong with boys liking My Little Pony? And when someone tries
and then,
to say something,
you know, Woods
just,
is also a dork in his own way because
yeah,
he likes,
yes.
you know, Dragon Ball. He grew up on the 90s culture, Power Rangers, that kind of stuff.
On Friday,
sadly
he
enough,
came
he
out.
He didn't even get to see that.
Sadly. You know, he on Friday, he actually, we didn't speak about Friday, but it was actually a really nice night. He came out in a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers t-shirt. His old, like, he wore it a while ago, months ago, when he was in that Brodus Clay.
He's still
feud.
Dedicated to his character. Nobody
yeah.
knows.
Yeah, exactly. Back in NXT, he was, and this is a while ago in NXT, when he was just starting out, he was built from Angel Grove, California. The original setting of Power Rangers, the original
right.
team, that's
just,
where they came.
It was so nice, because they did their yeah. research, and they put dedication into this character, and then they just screwed him when he hit the main roster. And he, I would have liked, I'm not saying he doesn't need to be like a jobber. I'm actually not making that argument. What I'm saying, rather, is you should have at least given him time to be himself. Because,
yeah.
A, he might have proven that he is worth more than jobber, which I do think he could have been. Or at least people will know his character. You know, so
yeah, exactly.
He just
yeah,
doesn't become a nameless
upset.
Jobber, which is kind of not a cool thing to have.
No, no, no. We need a mid-card. I think that's such an issue now. We're not having this. We're breaking up tag teams left and right now. When we had an abundance of, where I thought at one point we had so many we needed a brand split, got my quota in for the night. Now all of a sudden we don't have that many tag teams anymore. So where's that division going? Where's that? Where are those tag team titles going again? We're splitting them up into people who aren't even thinking of
winning the
title.
Weren't even on the card, right?
Some weren't even, yes, they weren't on the card tonight either.
Which titles weren't even defended on the card.
No.
And they could have. They had time.
Oh, yeah, they did. It was just very upsetting, I think. You know, where it's just, we need, you know, it's getting to the point where we actually need 3MB to start becoming credible again. If not for some kind of tag team, you know, shot, at least. They need some, because we're losing tag teams. And then when we lose tag teams, no one's going after titles. They're just either going into their own feuds or they're just getting written off TV. Like, look at Dolph Ziggler. He's been on TV twice this, you know, this week in, you know, in Magneto matches, which, by the way, hilarious. But that
right.
in no way pushes him towards a title. Although he has been in some, you know, shots recently, some chances to get it. So good job there. But even then, you still think, okay, if you're a random kid walking in, even though that shouldn't be the judge for everything. If you're a random kid walking in, you think, who is this guy? You know, and that's an issue. When they're being rotated so much that people watching that aren't like us might not know who certain people are. That's a really big problem. But anyway, let's stop ranting. Let's actually talk about the pay-per-view. Let's talk about the good stuff. All right, so
sure.
we have. So next we have Shield versus Evolution.
Yeah, that was surprising that it went on fourth, but I'm okay with it. I mean, the match was superb.
I'm actually very happy it went on fourth. I think we were going to complain, honestly, if it went on as the main event without having the WWE champion in the main event. I mean, would you have not have complained about that?
I wouldn't have been that angry. The Shield versus
really?
Evolution is a huge thing.
It is, but okay, fourth. I understand. I think it should have gotten top billing over Cena and Wyatt. I do believe that much. I'll say that. But I don't think that, you know, it's, I don't think it would have been, I don't know. I think it's main event level material. I just think that would that have bumped Bryan now to fourth? You know, I don't
no,
think
see,
that.
I mean,
I think,
argumentally, like, I'm
yeah.
not complaining that Daniel was the main event. I'm just saying
right.
that if Shield Evolution was the main event, I would have understood.
Fair enough.
I'm happy Daniel's in the main event. I shouldn't, you know, make that unclear. I am very happy
yeah.
he's in the main event because I've been rooting for this guy forever. You know, so
right.
great. And I mean, for that matter, as little time as I feel that Paige's match got, she got pretty late down the card. That was cool. I like that.
Yeah, and it's great because, it wasn't even – some may think, oh, but it was the cooldown match. But honestly, while it wasn't a steel cage or it wasn't a WWE title, it was still a titles match. It wasn't a random one-off match. It was a Divas title match that – I mean, they were very passionate, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, you could argue it was a cooldown, but believe me, Cena Bray cooled them down enough.
Yeah, oh, we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, Shield vs. Evolution, honestly, I don't even want to spend that much time on it because I just don't want to spend the next 20 minutes here saying, awesome, remember this segment? Oh, because that's just what we're going to do because we knew how great it was. Batista didn't even suck that much, which is an actual achievement. Which is an achievement.
They all sold pretty good. It started slow, but got really entertaining, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It was interesting because I fluctuate a lot with the way that I look at the Shield and who I think is going to be the real star and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Rollins is really just getting good at these spots and doing what he needs to do. He just really impresses me. Ambrose does everything right all the time. Reigns still is a little green, but I love him still. You know,
thank you for reminding me. I don't like what they're doing with Reigns because I think they're trying to make Reigns into something he's not, and I think that's the issue with why Reigns isn't really connecting that well.
Well, take a minute on that then. Tell me why I may agree with you.
Okay, basically they think, hey, Daniel Bryan's a face, and he's the top in the company. So, and he also has facial hair. He does that thing where he shakes his head that way. Roman, I don't know if that's his real name. Roman, you got to do that too. Because if you do it, they'll all love you. And then Roman does it, and I was just so scared. I thought he was having, I was like, no, he's having a seizure in the middle of the ring. Someone needs to go help him. And then when he speared Batista, I said, no, he didn't spear him. His body just propelled himself forward. That man needs a doctor.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about his spots, because a lot of his work in this match was, Superman punches.
Actually, okay, I will admit that was an issue as well, but again, I think it's just because it's his signature, it's one of those things where it's like, all right, we got to get people out of the ring, because the spear is now his finisher, where he can't just bust it out everywhere now, so he has to bust it only when it's appropriate. That sounded very
awkward. No, but it's just, it does sound awkward, but it's just weird where it's like Superman punch left and right, and...
Yes.
Like, I don't know how to, it felt very, like they had him on a leash.
I agree.
Only do this much. And I get that, especially on a big-time pay-per-view, but you got to let him grow a little bit. You got to give him the chance to really work a little. I mean, you've got Rollins doing these crazy-ass shit now, to the point where I'm 99% certain. I mean, I was always certain about Ambrose. I'm 99% certain you could take Rollins out of the, like, if you had to for some reason, and he could be a very successful singles wrestler for a long time from now. Like, he's hit it.
I can see him being that guy who pulls off all the crazy spots.
Crowd dive
was
beautiful.
Yes.
And I love the angle after the match, by the way, where they zoomed out and you could just see the jump. And I was like, oh, my God, and Ambrose running off the announce tables, by the way, should not be put to rest. That can't be done in video games. So that was pretty awesome.
Yes. That's what I think. I don't know if it was just maybe an Extreme Rules thing, maybe just a thing to try to, but I think if this network is as risky as it is, which it really is, they're putting a lot into this, maybe it's actually making them realize we need to do crazy stuff to get people to actually, so I understand, some of your complaints, and also I had some as well about this pay-per-view, but I think in terms of, remember when people liked how we went in the back and punched each other? We need to do more of that, because guess what? You do. Even if it's not an Extreme Rules pay-per-view, have a match that seems, no hold barred or something, or have some action maybe, while a wrestler's coming out, from the back, it's like, oh, everything's going well, and then so-and-so beats up on the other one, and then, oh, the match is starting now. Things like that I think they need to get back to, and I think this pay-per-view really was able to channel some of that, because I really did not expect them, both during Daniel Bryan versus Kane nor in Shield versus Evolution, that they were going to go anywhere else but the ring. I just didn't expect it.
Okay, so I'm glad. I'm not going to say I expected it, because I didn't. I knew they would do something, and I'm glad they did. I am really glad they did. So in terms of things they should go back to, and things that they should not go back to, Roman Reigns having a seizure, because you're right, and having Cena be Super Cena, as we...
So, again, great match. They did some great stuff. It's probably my favorite match of the night, I would say. I would say that's my favorite of the night.
I would agree, by far.
Yeah.
I think it was the best match of the night, and it certainly was my favorite.
Yeah, and I think they did so – they built up Reigns so well. Because if anyone thinks, no, but they're building up Reigns, you know, like, why can't we do that with Cena? Cena's already gotten that rub, and then we move on. Where Reigns, you know, some of these guys like Reigns and Daniel Bryan, they need that push up. And then when they're there, we can stop doing it. You know, I think that's what they need to realize. So once Reigns, you know, is out of the Shield and he's built up as this main event level guy in terms of how he's getting pushed, then we stop having him take 15 Batista bombs or something like that and then just getting up and then spearing a guy. But at this point, it's great stuff. And I was really worried. I was thinking, oh, no, is Batista going to – but guess what? It's now I'm okay with Batista saying how he wants to leave a bit earlier to not lose against Daniel Bryan, because I'll say to him, I'll say, fair enough, you lost twice, you gave two guys, you know, younger guys to push, I can understand why you may not want to lose again so quick. Because there were some rumors saying that he wanted to leave a bit sooner than he was planning on
already.
Yeah, I think
he may stay until payback, I've heard.
Yes.
But, I mean, we'll see.
And I understand. All right, so we move on to Bray Cena. We won't give this too much time, but we'll give it enough. I mean, I agree. Super Cena is bad Cena. And the reason why we were, you know, telling Daniel about our reasons not thinking this is, you know, on the same level as Shield's evolution is because they just, okay, I don't think it really made Bray seem weak because he was still getting up until, I will admit, the end, where the end is just, okay, well,
and see, but that's why it made him feel weak, because not only, and I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but...
No, I interrupt you.
All three men were laid out. It wasn't just Bray.
That's an issue, yes.
He was a part of that three that was laid out. It wasn't just Bray laid out, because that's one thing, because you're saying, he got back up. No, all three men were laid out, down for the count. So it made them as a group look weak, and each one of them on their own looked incredibly weak in comparison to Cena.
And what I do want to say, though, is the issue with, okay, here's the issue with what you just said. You said the words in comparison to Cena. Now, what I think the issue is that WWE doesn't like to show that these people are human. So, sadly, Cena is not booked like any normal man. So the fact that Bray Wyatt didn't spontaneously combust, and I mean that completely, that's actually an accomplishment.
No, it isn't. Because Cena should be the top face in the company, which means that if you have a program with him, and this is planned two pay-per-views now, you should come out looking better than you did. Or at least about staying stagnant. You know, like staying where you are.
Right.
Bray has, his momentum has kind of cooled off, I think.
I don't think with the fans. I think we're still behind him. I will admit, though, here's the thing. I think that, okay.
That's a credit to him being good and not their booking.
Okay, fair point. Fair point. The issue is them. I'm not, by the way, I would like to say that I'm not saying they aren't the issue, because now we're going to have Cena come after him again for a third pay-per-view, and Bray may even lose this one. Because now, and sadly, it's, you know, it's upsetting, because while I understand, okay, we might have, let's say, a Daniel Bryan story, which I still thought it went on for too long. We'll have a Daniel Bryan story that'll last X amount of months. Sadly, not every story needs to be a Daniel Bryan story. I would have been just fine if Bray won at WrestleMania and then moved on, or if Bray lost at WrestleMania and then here we are, Bray wins and then we move on. You know, well, I like the kid in a way because, I mean, hell, I love little Johnny. I mean, he's little Johnny.
Oh, yeah,
Johnny,
ending. A-plus.
Right?
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, but the issue is that it's going to lead into something else, something that I'm really scared that Bray will not win, even though we will be so behind him that what can they say? Like, oh, Bray Wyatt's message has been stopped, while an entire smark, town. I mean, isn't Payback in Chicago?
It should be, right?
Yes, no, Payback is in Chicago, yes. Meaning that, I'm pretty damn sure that when Bray loses there, because it's going to happen, when Bray loses there, they're going to still be cheering. He's got the whole world. So the message is not stopped. The message is still here. There's no, there'll be John Cena sucks at the end when his music plays. Nothing's going to change, and they really need to work on the fly with that and really understand that it's actually really bad that they've done really great things, but if it had just ended here, it could have moved on. But now they've worked themselves into this corner.
And because
where
here's also
just
the thing, because you're right, they probably aren't going to have a third match of the series because of the fact of how that ended. But you've made it so even if Bray wins now, like, he's going to look really – he has a lot of ground to make up in these next few weeks to make himself look strong again. Because this match with Cena made him look weak. Because you can argue that the match at WrestleMania made him look strong because it was a good match. Yeah, you can argue that. This was the exact opposite, where it looked like he needed the family. And that's...
Fair enough.
Like, if this was in reverse order, it may have been better.
Oh, yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Definitely.
Because at WrestleMania, it would have looked like he needed to rely on them like crutches. Yeah,
right.
And then he looked stronger. But it's like, what are you guys doing? And
no,
I don't know. I really don't know.
I
was really disappointed.
But I do think, though... I do have to say, though, I still think it is up to the beholder in a way where, I mean, no matter what, I mean, honestly, John Cena can lose to Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt can win 15 matches in a row at 15 different pay-per-views. And the kids, I think, will still think, John Cena isn't weak. John Cena's Superman. Because maybe, like, John Cena kicked out of, like, 15 finishers each match.
And that's okay. Because you don't have to make John look weak to make Bray look strong. It's almost impossible to make John look weak.
That's what I'm saying. So I think. All right. You know what? Never mind. I see what you're saying. Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
They made
a conscious effort to make John look strong
match.
Still.
Yes.
So I mean, it disappoints me. I'm gonna see where they go with it because, as always, I'm gonna see where they go with it.
Yeah.
But I'll just say I'm glad that Bray did get the win, and in the manner that he did it was kind of interesting.
Yes, and I will also say that at first I did like their little spots where it's just, oh, Cena can't get out. They were actually really cool, especially I think my favorite was when Rowan just picked him up himself while climbing the cage. Honest, I have to say, I'm sorry, I really enjoyed it. But
no,
obviously,
I thought that
15,
was cool, right? But
15
when you think
spots
about it,
later.
That's what I'm saying,
later.
Because
that
it was like
that
Cena
was
getting out. No, Cena getting out. No, Cena getting out. When you look at it, if you go back and count it, right, it was like six or seven or even eight times.
You know what's funny? We only needed one thing, I think, that they obviously, I'm sure, told Bray not to do, which was very upsetting because I think somewhere maybe Bray thought about this. If while Bray was down and while Rowan and Harper were down, right before the lights cut off, you have all three of them kind of not sitting upward, right? Not sitting up, but maybe laying on their stomachs, maybe even having their hands on the floor, kind of like in a push-up position, just looking at John. And they're like, wait, are they? And then the thing comes on. As if knowing, because he knew it was going to happen. So it was kind of upsetting that they made it seem as if, oh, Bray's down for the count, and then swerve. No, just wait, but Bray's up, and he's looking at Cena just for a split second, just a little tiny thing, and then it hits.
I agree with you. That was handled pretty shitty, in my opinion.
Because it was meant to be a swerve. It was just, oh, swerve! And it's like, no, guys. You know, I'm really concerned. I'm thinking, oh, no, like, WWE is picking up everything from TNA now. Are they trying to get Russo over? I don't think they should. I think that's just something that they can let TNA keep.
It didn't work.
No, it did not work. And, we move on to Paige Tamina, which we already really talked about. I mean, a lot of great spots. It made Paige look very strong as well as Tamina. And
the reversal of the Hurricanrana was superb.
Oh, yeah. And I just, I don't think that there was anything really wrong with that. And now we have so little time, but let's talk about why we loved and maybe not loved Daniel Bryan versus Kane.
Paige match still should have been longer, but...
Yes, fair enough. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan versus Kane.
Okay, while I understand your concern, you were talking to me about even before we got on the podcast about how it was kind of upsetting that, it was kind of meh, rather, that segment with Daniel Bryan and Kane on, with the forklift.
Honestly, the payoff was cool.
yes, that's the payoff was cool. And what I have to say is Daniel Bryan did try to kind of incapacitate Kane beforehand, I feel.
I mean, I thought, okay, it wasn't a
right.
bad match. Going to make that
mm-hmm.
clear.
Right.
It wasn't a five-star match either.
No.
I
can agree. I can agree.
I think I enjoyed it, though.
Yes, definitely.
I didn't love it. I liked it. And obviously Daniel Bryan came out looking strong, overcoming his first hurdle since becoming champion.
Most definitely.
Good stuff, you know, I would say, right?
You know what? I think this is something that we should talk about a bit longer. What I would like to do for everyone now is I would like to say, please like us on Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, if you look in the URL, and if you're searching on Facebook, just Those Guys. Definitely call in, you know, for any of our shows. If you're a fan of anything, we love to hear you guys. Tomorrow, Satish and I are also doing an 11 p.m. Monday Night Raw podcast. And honestly, right now,
probably
I think 11:30. You know, yeah, why not? 11:30. And just in, you know, just in case we run over, because it's going to happen, I think there's a lot about this match that, you know, I want to get into. I think a lot of background and you know, and how he may be booked in the future. So in case we go over, please remember, listen to us in the archives. The link will be posted right after this show is over. And, I mean, that is that, you know, just in case we cut off. Anything you want to say to them, you know? Before we cut off.
No, just a general, you know, that was good thinking on your part, Matt. I'll give you that much because we probably are going to go over by a few minutes. We sometimes do. And, you know, again, thank you for listening for those of you out there. And so now, yeah, let's run over this match. I mean, Daniel
and,
Bryan.
And, you know,
right?
and share this with your friends, you know. Pretend that all of your friends like podcasts and they love it when you pester them about liking your friends' pages. Pretend that's that because I think that's how the world works, right?
I mean, that's how we get popular, right? Apparently?
Apparently, yeah. Just, you know, just
I wouldn't know.
Sharing,
I'm not popular yet.
Sharing and twitting. Or tweeting. I don't do
twitting.
Either one.
Twitting.
Yeah, I don't do either one.
Thank you,
look
Jerry
at
Lawler,
me.
For that.
Look at, I was going to say, look at me. I'm Jerry Lawler, the Los Matadores. Whoa. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Girl.
He said congratulations tonight. I was so worried he was having a stroke. He just started saying... The joke about him saying random words, it was actually true. He was actually just saying random words and not even saying the full ones. Like, congratulations is what you would tell someone. He said to Paige, you know, on the mic, he was like, congratulations. And I sat there and I thought, Jerry, are you okay?
That scares me.
That it really does.
I don't think
I'm
I
really
noticed
nervous.
That, and I believe you. So I'm just sitting here worried. Like,
well, if you want to look back at that, go on the WWE Network. It's probably getting archived right now as we speak. That's how I saw it. That's how you saw it. That's not
yeah,
sure how
no,
many of
it
you
can,
saw it.
I actually went back and rewatched some of it immediately after it ended, by the way.
Wow, that's amazing. That's
because,
actually faster than I've ever seen it get put on.
No, but what I did was, and for those of you who have the network, you know, you can go on, and when you click to watch something, it'll ask you now from the beginning or in Spanish. That it does that for me on the PS3.
Yeah, I was
gonna say,
that's probably a PS3 function. Doesn't do that on my
laptop.
Yeah,
PS3
function. There are different
functions,
actually.
Because it basically, I'll hit X, and it says, watch now, watch from beginning, or watch in Spanish. So I hit watch from beginning, and I fast-forward it to some of the stuff that I wanted to see.
You didn't
want to
watch
Spanish? Because I
wanted
to rewatch some parts.
No, I understand.
I should
anyway.
Watch in Spanish during the Shield Evolution match to hear if anything was said on the microphones. But
you should, yes, you should watch in French. That one time at WrestleMania when they had the French announced team. But anyway, we're probably gonna cut off soon. We're probably gonna cut off soon. But we love you guys, and we're definitely gonna cut off. But Daniel Bryan, so you know,
yeah, we still
that
got
whole
another
match,
minute or so.
Yeah, but we'll start on Daniel Bryan, and you know, in the archives, it'll flow all nice and smooth like. So Daniel Bryan, I think that this literally was just one of those matches where, you know, we knew this was going to be a match where it's just, all right, he's just going to fight Kane, you know, it'll lead into when, you know, him winning other matches, you know, looking stronger because of it. And I think it did its job. I mean, I think what's very interesting, though, is that, you know, Daniel Bryan is the face. He is technically the top face in the company because, I mean, he has the title. But he isn't being played as this goody-two-shoes kind of guy. He is, but he also has that dark side, which I do like, where you have Bray trying to pick it out of John, but you have Daniel Bryan going, no, you messed with my wife. You know, you don't do that. I'm going to hurt you. And he did. And I think that's something, it's just very real. I think that's what really connects with people, let's say, more than John Cena.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and spend like half hour talking about why we don't connect with John Cena. But everything you just said is right, because I like that they started the match with right in the middle of Kane's entrance. You know, Daniel just dashes and starts trying to fight him. Because, hey, it's a no-holds-barred extreme rules match.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like we're going to be cut off, right?
Oh, no. Love you guys. Thank you for listening.
Check
back in the archives.
Though. Yep.
Yes, check back in the archives. We're still going. Oh, yeah.
Right, so
I think Oh Yeah was my last thing. That would be beautiful if Oh Yeah was my last thing.
That's nice. It's not going to feel as cool as people are listening in the archives. But, you know, archive listeners
out
there.
Not at all. No, not at all.
Oh, we do love you because
you
help us.
Do. Oh, yeah, you help us.
So
you help us.
When you have Daniel attacking Kane like that to start off the match, really
right.
good storytelling, because that's what you would expect a guy of his caliber, an emotional, you know, family man kind of guy to do. And it made sense. We saw a lot of brutality from Daniel in this match. Also made sense. We saw the flaming table, which was really fun. It was done very quickly, but it was fun for me because they kind of botched
scary.
That, though.
The camera's botched.
The camera botched it with the fire extinguisher.
Well, no, actually. Yes, because I think they extinguished the middle before they extinguished the sides or something.
No.
So
when Kane was pulling out the table, you can see the guy coming over with the fire extinguisher.
Oh, I didn't even notice that, actually.
And
it's
very, and when you rewatch it, it is extremely blatant. To the point
that's
where
that's actually very bad.
Unless you were staring directly at Kane, right?
Well,
like only at Kane.
I was.
You would have you see him in the back walking with the fire extinguisher, and immediately I put two and two together. You know?
Yeah, that's actually
and
very sad.
I was very disappointed in them botching that, because we complain a lot about their camera angles and what they do.
Yeah.
So
I think
this was another example.
Yeah, what I thought they botched, because it did look like that, when Kane was getting thrown off into the table, it looked as if the middle was already extinguished or it hadn't been lit on fire compared to the rest of
it.
It
didn't,
like,
because Kane didn't put the gasoline correctly. So,
oh, okay, good. It was his error. Okay.
Yeah, like if you can picture the table in thirds, right?
Right.
The first 33% on the left was lit on fire. The second 33% in the middle wasn't completely lit on fire.
I noticed
Because he didn't spread the gasoline that well.
You think he may have done that on purpose? I mean, he wasn't completely roped up, so you think maybe they could have...
Yeah, because I think... I'm not going to complain because we got our flaming table. And
he
did fall through the middle, which was the part that was mainly not on fire. So, I mean... I'm not going to complain about somebody doing something for their safety.
No, but I would like to say, I would like to complain about
the fire extinguisher.
Because,
go for it.
Because here's the thing. With the angles, you see, I just think that they're not on the fly as they should be, because I think that there's two trucks. There's people looking and talking about everything. It should have been, you know, all right, Kane has the table up. Wait, that part isn't on fire. Go. Do a far away angle that makes it look like, based on the, you know, the left and the right part of the table, what the whole thing's on fire. As jarring as it may have seemed, I would have liked a way zoomed out, really far away camera to have been hit, if only because it would have actually looked like it was on fire from certain angles. All of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to harp too much on it, because I think my main issue was with the thing beforehand with the fire extinguisher.
Yes.
You're right, camera angles were a little bit weak throughout the match.
You know what's
and
a great
it doesn't
one?
Take away from this being a B-plus pay-per-view.
No. But I think it would have made it maybe a B, two pluses.
A solid B-plus?
Yes.
I'm kind of at B-plus because...
Right, exactly.
It was good. Like, it was good. We're on the path to doing things well.
Yes.
And all the results made me pretty happy. It just wasn't bam. Like, it didn't, you know...
No, not at all. What I think also is a thing, by the way, this was during Shield and Evolution. While I understand that they really want to focus on everything that's happening outside the ring, a simple quick cut to a spear, how do you not know a spear is coming? This is Roman Reigns, you're in the ring.
Yeah, they,
I assume
they
it was a,
do
actually,
that.
I don't know if it was a spear. I don't know what it was. I didn't see it.
They didn't do it perfectly also because they spent almost too much time focused on the guys outside the ring. Where,
split screen,
like, as,
for Christ's sakes. You
do
it for replay.
As much as we like to see that, too, the legal guys were in ring. And I know when you cut back they were wrestling, but you should have cut back a little bit more frequently or at least for more extended time, because there were times like, okay, when Triple H and Randy were walking down the stairs, we didn't need to see that. Switch back to the ring thing for a second, because the legal men are in the ring. We got to see our spot, and that was awesome. I loved it. But, yeah, camera angles, guys. I mean, it's
I agree.
You'll see it again, Matt, you know, and you'll see the thing with the fire extinguisher, because it really it kind of botches the whole moment for me, especially because you can basically make out what is gasoline when he pulls the tables out.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
I mean, it's like 2+2, and then they've drawn the outline of a 4 for you. Like, you know.
Yeah, no,
already.
I agree.
No.
Yeah, I think, yeah, but I think definitely I have to jump back to that Shield Evolution thing, because it's so upsetting, if only because now that you really pointed it out, it's like, what if, you know, they have to have talked to the camera crew about what was going to happen beforehand. So unless Triple H maybe said, and I don't want to put his ego out there again, because he's done a lot for these guys now, maybe saying, it should be on us because we're doing cool stuff outside the ring. Like, what do they expect to happen? Just, and we cut from the action. Wait a minute, Triple H is peeing on Dean Ambrose live. Like, what are you going to cut away from that's so important that they're doing outside the ring that, you're right, we could have actually had a pinfall if this was actually, if this was real, if we actually believed in this as children. Or adults, hey, some people believe. You know, we could have missed a pinfall. That's really
upsetting.
Yeah,
I don't think it was done as well.
No. One thing that I think was actually very scary, jumping back to Daniel Bryan Kane, when Kane threw something at the car, I believe it was like a propane tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it a fire extinguisher? Yeah, it was the scariest thing in the world, if only because he did throw it in a way where Daniel Bryan was far enough already, where, you know, it obviously wasn't going to hit him. What if Daniel blinked? You know, like, what if he just, for a split second, forgot? You know, brain-dead WWE champion. That was some scary stuff, the way Kane threw it, and it looked pretty, you know, solid. I was scared. The second he flew off, I thought, what if Daniel didn't move? Right.
Yeah.
Like, what if something happened?
Daniel is a good worker, but Kane was a little bit sloppy.
Yes, yes. I mean, and he's
with
Kane, so I understand. But it was just very scary. I wonder if Kane actually hurt himself. I believe he did. I assume it was breakaway glass, because why would you not have breakaway glass for your cars there if you know they're going to be used? But I think it was very interesting the way when Kane punched it, I don't know, something, maybe it's because, you know, they had to do it that way to give Daniel the spot to get the thing. But it looked like it was just like, it broke the glass, and he's like, ow. Like, my hand went through that.
Yeah, and to be fair, to guys, you know, to Kane, who I just complained about his working and stuff,
right.
They fulfilled a lot of really cool, when you think about it, right?
Right.
Excuse me. We had the car spot, forklift headbutt.
The TV.
Flaming table, TV.
Yeah.
Choke slam through a table. Choke with the, God, what do you call that thing? The kendo stick?
Right.
Yeah.
With the,
we had some chair spots, we had some nice, I have to admit, now that I'm really thinking about it, right, and we're talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a really nice plethora of spots to make up for the fact that Kane is not that great in ring anymore.
Of course.
That's pretty cool when I think about it. Like, we got a lot of nice spots in.
No, we did, and that's why I think it was great, because it really made me think of, you know, old WWF, WWE, because back in the day, it just felt as if, you know,
oh,
all
it really
fights,
did, by the way,
outside
the
ring.
The fact that the Shield and Evolution, you know, spilled to the crowd like that, right? And then we had so much shit go on in the Daniel Kane match. It did feel like a throwback, almost as Heyman was talking about, paying tribute to the old extreme stuff, you know? And
also, I liked where they were.
I'll give them that.
Yeah, I like where they were because, I don't know, for some reason, maybe it's because they were filmed in certain areas and you know where you were filming back in the day, but back in the day, it felt as if it was just like, you know, all the hallways felt the same. It's just maybe it's just the way they propped them all up, but all the hallways felt as if, it's just the same hallway everywhere they go. Where in this case, it just felt like, wow, you're actually underneath the fans. It's dingy. It's dark. Like, you are actually right behind the Titantron right now.
Yeah, and it looked like in the Evolution Shield match that Seth basically jumped from the crowd.
Yeah, so there were fans there going, hey, it's Seth Rollins. And Seth was like, hey, shh, or if you're going to cheer, just cheer. And they were like, for you, Seth, yeah, just woo, just cheering in general, not giving away the fact that he was just standing up there waiting to jump. I mean, that was just a scary thing because I made the joke, but yeah, it looked like he died. And then same thing to Batista in the ring. I don't know if he meant this on purpose or not, but before Roman Reigns' his little seizure there, Batista just hit the mat clean with his head, just bounced right off. So I'm sitting here thinking, all right, Batista needs a doctor right now. Roman Reigns is having a seizure. Seth Rollins is dead near the fans. The fans are currently smelling his death right now.
But they're cheering. Wow,
they're
how
cheering.
Real is this?
Yes, but they're cheering. So the Shield, both Shield and Evolution just lost one member. So they're going to have a funeral match where at the funeral they're going to have a tag team match at the cemetery in their honor. You know, I was just really scared about this match. You know,
I'm just thinking
also,
about, like, you know,
Reigns
I
would still be alive. In my fantasy, Reigns would still be alive just in a wheelchair because of the seizure. But you were saying?
But yeah, no, quite seriously, though, like, all
mm-hmm.
jokes aside,
yeah,
that Roman power-up seizure thing was mm-hmm. weird. Like, it was just weird. I can't, it looked uncomfortable.
That's the thing. That's why I'm saying, like, I feel as if they're making him do something he can't really do.
That
either
being
because
said,
of his
though,
own acting
his power
ability.
Up thing. His power-up yeah. thing he can do, right? Like, his scream and his, like, punch the ground.
No, yes, yes, that's fine. Because that's what I'm talking about is the whole, and he's been doing this recently, the whole hoo-ah thing where, like, he kind of, like, he does a Crash Bandicoot thing at the end where it's, like, he pulls his arms in and out. That thing, I don't think that's workable. And I've noticed it for a few weeks now. I don't think it looks good. And then they told him, hey, if you're going to go crazy like this, you got to, I can really only imagine that someone backstage told him, think Daniel Bryan. And that's what he was trying to emulate, because that's all I could see when he was doing it. It was just so poorly done, and it's just bad on everyone's end, because I think that a lot of times, for doing so well as a company for so many years, and for having so many great, you know, accomplishments underneath them, I feel as if they just sometimes say, hey, let's throw so-and-so out to the water. And it's just like, shouldn't we practice that backstage first? No. Let's let them do it out there, and let's see if it sticks. And it's like, guys, I think anyone who works for the company, you know, spanning all the way to the janitor that works for the arena, could look at Roman Reigns doing that and go, that's not going to work.
Right. Like, it just does.
Yeah.
But I mean, it feels good to kind of nitpick at this stuff. Because, you know, there were a few months ago, you know, where we were just sitting there like, man, that was shit.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. Some of the weeks of Raw that we've had building up to this, they weren't as strong as we hoped. So, like, I'm kind of happy because I think the product looks a little bit better than I thought it would.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm not as hopeful as I was the first Raw after WrestleMania.
Well, obviously.
But I'm still hopeful. And there's still a lot of things that I want to be around to see happen. You know?
No, that's great. I mean, honestly, and I have to say this, other than the WLC, and I'm sorry I brought it up, but I really have to, other than the WLC, which I don't know why they don't understand that there are little people who watch wrestling just like there are women, so you really got to kind of cater to everybody here, guys. Other than that little thing, though, I really think that they are trying to put on a better product because they need people to, you know, buy the pay-per-views or at the very least buy the network. You know, because it needs to happen. They need to get 1 million buys by the end of this year. Otherwise, things aren't going to look as well as they did previously. You know, they need to get these buys. So I think they really are trying hard where now it's just if you somehow manage to not be able to get the pay-per-view, either via, you know, the network or via, you know, your pay-per-view provider or even via, let's say, the Internet. Let's say you're not really tech-savvy. And you heard how great this match was. You're probably going to go get the network if you haven't
already.
It'd
be weird if you don't have it by now.
That's the thing, too. It'd be weird if you don't have it by now. But if for some reason you don't, I think that, you know, something like this would help you pick it up, I feel. You know,
if you're listening to our
podcast
and you don't have it, I'd be really surprised. I'm being honest.
I would as well. No, I would as well. Because, I mean, why would you shell out $50 a month? Unless for some reason you really don't have great internet, which then I'm sorry. But, if you were going to shell out the $60 or the $50, depending on, you know, where you purchased it or if it was an HD or not, you might as well just shell out, you know, $60 for the entire network for that 6-month commitment.
I mean, is it even a six-month commitment anymore?
I assume it still is because I don't think they want to make people scared. Oh, yeah. No, it is. I assume because they don't want to make people scared, but the people who committed to it first are, you know, they're going to try to make them renew at SummerSlam. And then I think, you know, SummerSlam will just be so big in general that if you don't have it, you'll jump on. If you already have it, you'll think, woohoo, SummerSlam. I think it's one of those
SummerSlam
kind
should
of
be a
scenarios.
Big event. Like, I'll just, I mean we've run over, you know, we've hit like 13 minutes over, so we don't want to push it
might
too much,
well.
You know?
No.
But, like, you know, a good feeling to end on is that there are things that I'm looking forward to, and I feel like they have a general direction. They're still not perfect. They're still making mistakes. I don't think they'll ever be perfect because they haven't started hiring, you know, Matt and I yet. But, they're moving in the right direction. Right?
No,
it's
they are.
Up, yeah?
And yes, and honestly, this is from a guy from you who did stop wrestling for a bit. You stopped watching the product at one point. So the fact that they haven't gotten that bad, and obviously it takes a lot for them to get that bad, but still, you know, it does mean something, I think, for, you know, to keep in an old-time fan like you, to keep in a guy like myself who's, you know, who is returning, but who could easily just switch it right back off because, I'm sorry, but yeah, the network is a double-edged sword. You might want people to watch your current product with it, but you can easily get lost in the archives and never look back.
Yeah, and someone like, you know, our fact checker, Maddie, she grew up with her dad watching it weekly for years until about 2012, you know? So, and she's about our age, so you think about that, how many years that she was able to, like, absorb of, like, you know, the Attitude Era into, like, now. And she's back into it, too. So there's a lot to like about it now. It's just... Don't start off comparing it to the Attitude Era because
no, that's terrible.
If you were around to enjoy the Attitude Era, you may not like this, but when you hear it like that. But I almost want to argue that part of it is like an Apple's Origins comparison, you know, where this is a different brand of wrestling. Things are different now, and arguably you can see at the top right away. A guy that looks like Daniel Bryan is your top champion. You know?
I do also
women
think, though, that it's turning around.
Again.
Yes, I do think it's turning around, though. I mean, not to, you know, we're going to end in about a minute or so. I just, you know, we may even have a podcast just dedicated to the Attitude Era versus the Now Attitude Era. That's what it's
That'll
called.
That'll be a really good discussion if we can get people to call in. So, again, you know, those
from
of you who
era.
Listen, archives right now, by the way.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Make yourself known. You know, do like us on Facebook. Do message us. Send us emails at thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com.
Yes.
You know, even if you want to approach our personal Facebooks, they're accessible through the page, I think.
Oh, yes, yes. No, anything you say, you know, that a show you'd like us to do, you know, especially about wrestling, we'll listen to you. We'll really try and, you know, connect and see if we can do a show about it because, you know, we want to listen to you guys and we want to hear you guys. But the thing I was going to say was that, you know, I do think we're coming back around to an era that maybe it's because Triple H is getting more control and Triple H was a big guy during the Attitude Era. We may think he's gone corporate. But I don't think he's gone as corporate as his character is making it out to be. I really do think that he is here, not trying to bury people, but he is here trying to, you know, bring something different to the product where whoever was in charge before him was clearly trying to think only of the children, only of the children.
Yeah, you know what? Trips and Batista, right?
Right.
Batista came back, put over Daniel Bryan, and then he put over, you know, the Shield tonight. Triple H has now lost two matches on back-to-back pay-per-views that have put over young guys.
Yeah, and honestly, I admit, Batista was not the plan. Him losing was not the plan. But the fact that, because he could have easily, honestly, again, he could have easily thrown a hissy fit. And he may have backstage, and he technically did when he first appeared before he was even a heel. But when I say hissy fit, I mean as if, okay, I believe that what CM Punk did, if he did for the reasons that he did, can be considered deserved. I mean a complete Batista undeserved where he thinks he can just come back and say, I'm more deserving than everyone else, and then leave when he doesn't get what he wants. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is very undeserving. No matter what you think about CM Punk, that is not what happened. You know, that guy worked so many years with this company. So to have Batista who steps back in and thinks, oh, I'm going to get this title shot, and then it's actually, Dave, you're not. And then he could have easily just left or said, you know what, that's not in my, it was in my contract that you're supposed to give me this, I'm gone. Or, you know, he could have breached the contract. Hell, he has Hollywood money. You know, he could have breached the contract. You know, so many things he could have done, or he could have held for ransom or held, you know, whatever, but he didn't. because it didn't be his, and if he did, it didn't work. Either way, he's done his job, you know, twice now.
Right. Good man.
Yeah. Yes. So, on that note, thank you guys for listening to us in the archives. First time we've ever actually gone this long, but I mean, it's Extreme Rules. We're playing a little fast and loose with the rules tonight. That's what we're doing.
Extreme. Are you saying our podcast is Extreme Rules?
No. Well, actually, it might even have been better. I think we had a very nice podcast tonight.
Sure, if you want to believe that.
Yes. So, shall I play us out tonight?
You want to?
Yeah. Might as well,
you
right?
Know, go ahead, because, you know, I mean, it. I'm feeling all right. I'll let you have it.
Good.
As long as it's not this fire burns, because then I'm going to cut you off.
I wish I did have that. Sadly, no. Ride of the Valkyries, everyone. Have a good night.
Okay, great.